Solar energy is getting cheaper, a lot cheaper, and that means that the technology is starting to spread not just to suburban homes with roofs that face south, but also to small communities around the world where traditional power grids don't even reach. In a lot of ways, this is the dream that renewable energy advocates have had for years, only the solar power that they wanted was too expensive to ever be taken seriously. Still, solar energy makes up only a tiny fraction of the world's energy supply right now. Our partner, Retro Report, in collaboration with Quartz, has been looking at the future now that solar appears to have crossed a critical price point. Their latest documentary in the What Happens Next series is called The Future of Home. Lonnie Groffman is an author and engineering lecturer at Humboldt State University. He's featured in the new documentary, and he says that solar has now become the cheapest way of producing energy.
There's all types of other reasons for solar to be taking such a big foothold now. But a lot of those reasons have been present for the whole time of solar. You know, climate change and energy independence have always been issues. But the fact that solar has just dropped so precipitously in price is why it's taking over now.
Well, let's hear a little bit from the film. This is Amy Strutz. She's owner of AJ Leo Electric and Solar in Michigan. One of the people who's been installing lots of solar panels on the homes of people in Ypsilanti and other towns, incentivized by tax cuts from the local and state government. Listen.
Most of the people that I deal with, it's a financial decision. Some people it's a green decision, and some people it's a combination.
All right, so she's saying there, Lonnie, yeah, some people are into the green movement, but a lot of people are just saving money, and that's the bottom line.
And when I first started teaching renewable energy almost 15 years ago, solar cost more than $8 per power unit, right? And now it's less than a dollar. You know, there's very few things that we've seen take an entire order of magnitude drop. You know, because we finally have invested the amount of money you need to invest in a new technology, we're finally getting to those price savings. And it's just going to continue. You know, solar will always get more and more affordable, and the sun will always be relatively free.
So, Lonnie, what's the real promise of solar here in the real world? I mean, where is it going to be most useful in the next 10 years? I don't think that the skyscrapers of New York City are going to all go solar and that's going to replace Con Edison in New York. Probably not. But there might be other places where it's more practical.
I think it's practical everywhere. I think that the image of having the solar panel directly on the building with which it's serving, that might not be the view of the city of the future. But those same buildings being powered by solar and other renewables, solar concentrated collectors, wind, I think you will see that. I think we need to see it, in fact. And then there's other places where that solar impact is even more obvious, in places that did not have grid electricity and may never have grid electricity, where a solar panel can completely transform the life of a family or a village, or especially a rural environment where normally the children have to go to the city to find jobs. Now they're able to get education and access to resources. When you combine distributed solar with distributed internet and distributed safe water and distributed financial instruments, you can create situations where rural environments have the opportunities that used to be just present in the urban environment.
So talk a little bit more, though, about how solar power is distributed. One of the points that's made here is that it's not just that it's renewable from the sun, but that it can be broken up, distributed house by house, village by village. You don't need to be wired to the big utility. Why does that matter?
Grid-connected solar, industrial solar, residential solar, rural solar, and distributed solar, investments in any support all of them. And so you're building this ecosystem of renewable energy, which allows people to own how they want their energy to be produced. And by distributing it, you make it so that communities that might have been overlooked or that have traditionally been overlooked, they can just literally take the power for themselves.
Lonnie, there does seem to be a great promise of democratization of power generation here that you're describing. But look, this was the same promise with the internet when it was brand new. It was going to democratize information. It turns out that a few giant corporations now control a lot of the information, and we're right back in a monopolistic type of scenario that we were in before the internet existed. And I wonder if that's a danger with solar power here. Yes, people can buy it. They can make some choices. But eventually, just a couple of big companies are going to control the means of producing this power and distributing it.
So one of the great parts of renewable energy is that there's so many different ways to do it. And the more we invest in any of the ways, it helps the other ways. And so between solar and wind and biogas and all the different ways that a community can take ownership of their own power, I don't think that we have that same worry.
And the fossil fuel companies, we don't need to tell each other, have enormous power in the marketplace and in politics. You've been at this for decades. Are you ready to say today that you finally have them beat?
Yes, but also I'm an optimist, and I think I've been saying that for 15 years. You know, you have a situation now with, for instance, the Paris Accord, where every nation in the world but one is signing on to that Paris Agreement. I think that one nation, you know, ours, the United States, is showing the massive drive towards renewables. Community by community and state by state, you look and you see that we're doubling down in most cases on our renewable energy.
Lonnie Groffman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.